Jazz, should I try it again, Jasmine, or is it Lucy holding the football saying, no, kick it, Charlie Brown? What do you think? Is he there or is he not there? Should we try it? Don't try it. All right.
You crazy to try it again.
No, I'm not trying it again. Hold that thought. I'm going to try one more time. I think we have Alexander on the line. You're Alexander Zelbin from Decider.com. If I'm wrong, I've broken a major league record. Let's see. Alexander, are you there? Can you hear me?
Here you.
Oh, hey. Success. We pulled it off.
It worked?
Yeah, it worked. You know what it needed to do?
Ghost a little bit.
I needed to put a different string in between the Dixie cups, but now I can hear you perfectly. Good. I'm so glad you're here. All right. Really quick. Roseanne, the new Roseanne, premiered on Tuesday. Everybody had high hopes for it, but nobody in the world could have guessed the huge success that it had in its first episode. What does this mean? What will happen because it was such a success?
More Roseanne, first and foremost. You know, this already came out today. It hasn't been officially noted by ABC, but we expect to pick up at any moment for, I don't even know, we were discussing this in our boarding meeting. I don't know if you call it a season 2 of Roseanne or a season 11 of Roseanne, but point being, there's going to be a shortened season now. There's about 10 episodes in this new run. There's going to be more of it. So we're going to see it come back again. Beyond that, though, I think it's going to not exactly change the television landscape, but there were a lot of questions about these, not reboots, but revivals, things like Will and Grace, things like The X-Files, that opened really big and then immediately dropped off after their first episodes.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to see more of both of those series, but there's going to be a lot of questions going into the second episode of Roseanne, I think. And I actually feel pretty confident it's not going to make 18 million people watch like it did the first one, but yeah. There's going to be a lot of people very interested to see what happens with the show.
I read last night that because of the huge success, that Tim Allen, who's been trying to get Last Man Standing, or I guess his original show, which of the two shows, one of them, he says, I'm definitely bringing back one of my shows. I don't know which one, though, if it's Last Man Standing.
Well,
or his
Last Man Standing is going over to WGN America, but this is something we've been batting around in the office for a while now. Bringing back Home Improvement is kind of a no-brainer at this point.
Yeah.
You're going to see a lot more revivals, a lot more reboots down the road. That's if they can get time in his schedule and the rest of the cast. I can imagine that will be announced any day now.
Alexander, on Sunday night, I got a brand new season of Billions. Paul Giamatti might be the best actor on the planet. Yeah. And Damian Lewis, who was great in Homeland, he's the bad guy. Paul Giamatti is the good guy who's got some bad guy around him. is that show, would you say, hitting its stride? Is that show capable of getting even better? Your thoughts on Billions?
Absolutely. You know, I've been really surprised. That's one that's kind of simmering in the background. And I would say even for the first two seasons, people watched it, but there wasn't a lot of attention on it in the press or the mainstream media or anything like that. But something happened where the Billions fan base just built up between season 2 and season 3. I don't think the ratings have totally reflected it yet, but there is so much more interest on the show going into season 3. And like you said, it has an incredible cast. It was always really set up for success. But I think going into the third season, they really figured out how to make everything work.
Damian Lewis is the villain, the hero slash villain from the first few seasons of Homeland, right?
Yes,
is that Damian Lewis?
Yes.
Yeah, I like him. Yeah. All right, and Paul Giamatti is one of those guys who was getting steady enough work in movies where you'd go, he probably doesn't need to do a TV series. What's the thought process for a guy like that, an actor who's always busy but finds time?
I think there's two things going on there. Well, probably three things if you include the money part of it. But I think one is just consistent work. You know, movies are blips. You work on them for a month, 2 months, maybe 3 months, and then you have a space between there, which there's something nice about that. But there's also something nice about just coming into work every day and filming your show. But I think the second thing that's drawing so many big actors like Giamatti, and if you look at a show like Big Little Lies on HBO, is there's really meaty material that you can dig into in the long run of a TV show now that you just can't get in an hour and a half or 2 hour movie. So I think that's what they're looking for, the opportunity to explore a character in the mid-level between a movie and, say, a procedural that's going to run for 20 seasons and you feel trapped in. With something like Billions, it's not going to run for 20 seasons. It'll run for 5 seasons or 6 seasons. So it feels like something where you can really feel the arc of a life from an acting perspective.
Yeah.
At least that's my guess about it.
Alexander, Bill and I were discussing, as we were trying to bring you in from whatever planet it is you're on, we were talking about John Legend in Jesus Christ mm-hmm. Superstar, and I love, you know, these live musicals that we've been getting treated to mm-hmm. over the last, you know, year and a half, 2 years, and I'm also looking forward to Alice Cooper. You know, you got John Legend, who's about as cool as, you know, cool could be. And you got Alice Cooper, who is somewhere between cool and, oh, my God, that guy's more insane than Ted Nugent. but do you think this is a trend that is going to become even more popular? And we're going to see more and more of these live broadcasts?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the first thing I would say just about the Jesus Christ Superstar that's happening this week, don't sleep on Sarah Bareilles as Mary Magdalene. I think her singing I Don't Know How to Love Him is going to be the breakout moment from that everybody's going to be talking about Monday morning.
Awesome.
But, yeah, broadcasters are looking for these ways of getting people to actually watch live. You know, at Decider, we're very focused on streaming TV, so we're looking at the binge, we're looking at the long term, but while that's happening, while everybody's moving their eyeballs over to Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, traditional networks are thinking, how can we get people to watch in the moment and talk about it in the moment? And whether it's something beautiful, like we hope the Jesus Christ Superstar Live is going to be, or a ridiculous disaster, like a lot of the musicals have been, people talk about them. They tweet about them. They go on Facebook. It's something that people feel like they have to watch while it's on. And that's what the networks want, and that's what the advertisers want. So they're going to continue.
Harry's theory before we got you on, Alexander, was that there's part of us that wants to see something screw up. Do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is.
I mean, listen, have you ever driven by a car crash?
Sure.
You know? Everybody stops to watch. And I think that's one of the appeals of Saturday Night Live for decades now, is the moments when they break. Everybody laughs at that because, not to get too lofty about it, but it puts forth a certain level of humanity. You know, you think, oh, you have all these takes. You have these perfect actors who know exactly what they're doing, and to see them flub a line or start hysterically laughing at something as somebody else is doing shows that they're human just like you, and there's something enjoyable and inviting about that.
Alexander, tell me if this is real or not, because I read this morning, but I don't think it's true. They were listing all the shows that are going to be ending in 2018, and they mentioned The Americans, which you just mentioned. They mentioned The Middle, which is a show I've loved from day one. They also mentioned New Girl. They said you're going to see the last episodes mm-hmm. in May of New Girl. Are there more episodes of New Girl? I thought it ended last year.
No. Yes. There are new episodes of New Girl, and it's coming back very soon. It returns on April 10th, in fact, for one final season. So good
Excellent.
News.
That is good news.
As a guy whose daughter is always binge-watching shows on Netflix or Hulu, can you recommend a couple to me that I might not know about so I can seem somewhat relevant to my own child?
How old is your daughter?
She is 17, but don't worry, she knows everything.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to make sure that I'm not recommending things that are too adult or too young. One thing that's actually bubbling up that I'd recommend that is everybody wants to read about on Decider, and we've been kind of surprised about it. There's a Spanish language series called La Casa de Papel, which translates as House of Paper. They renamed it for the United States. It's now called Money Heist, and it's coming out with a second season soon. And if you're a fan of, like, breezy crime thrillers that are fun and enjoyable, and in this case, it's all subtitled, but you can just watch it and enjoy it, that's one I definitely recommend. That's a really good one. And I think, you know, there's not too much objectionable content in terms of watching it with the family.
And that's Money Heist, right? That's the name of it here?
Money Heist.
Okay, Money Heist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, you can probably find it under both names. I think the first season is still under La Casa de Papel.
Okay.
I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. My Spanish is not quite as strong as my Francais.
I'm a lazy American. Subtitles kind of push me out of it situation.
All right. Well, here, I'll give you something that is foreign but isn't subtitled. I don't know how family-friendly this is or you want to watch this with your daughter, but there's an incredible show called Lovesick. That's a British show. Here's the part where you're going to be like, I'm out. But it's about a guy who finds out that he has chlamydia and then goes and calls all of his old girlfriends. That's kind of the start of it. But it's actually...
Didn't Danny Thomas do that years ago, Alexander? I've seen this before.
It's really funny and surprisingly heartfelt, despite the premise, where he goes back and he's really just looking for love and connecting with all of his old girlfriends. It goes backwards and forwards in time, so there's, like, surprisingly for a rom-com, a sort of mystery element to it. But I love that show, particularly the first two seasons.
Oh, that
wonderful.
Sounds good.
What is it called? Don't Answer the Phone?
No.
It's called Real Life. It's called Lovesick.
Lovesick. Excellent, excellent. And then, Alexander, one more thing. We're starting to see the trailer for Westworld Season 2 mm-hmm. over on HBO. It looks just as good as the first season, if not better.
Yeah, I cannot wait for this show. I didn't realize how excited I was until I saw that trailer. There's so much to unpack there, and one of the things that's very exciting about getting into that, say, other than a Game of Thrones, is even though there's a movie, even though there's source material, we have no idea where it's going to go. So you're getting this war between the robots, who are called hosts on the show, who used to be slaves of this theme park called Westworld. They fought back, spoiler, at the end of last season. But we're going to get to see a bloody battle where they're taking out Westworld, and they're taking out all the humans there and trying to take control. But at the same time, it seems like Tandy Newton's character, who escaped last season, is going to be traveling to other theme parks. So we already know we're going to see Shogun World, which is an Asian-inflected, perhaps Japan-inflected world.
Yeah.
There's a lot of others out there. There's Roman World that I think we're going to see, and a couple more. So it should be really exciting.
In the movie, it was Roman World and Medieval World. I don't know if that mm-hmm. has become Shogun World, but that was their other area in the movie.
If they're attacking... Go ahead, Alexander.
Oh, I was just going to say, I believe we're going to see upwards of four other parks.
So excellent.
Hopefully we'll see Roman World, Medieval World, Shogun World, and one Mystery World. I'm hoping it's Disney World, but we'll see.
That would be great. Alexander, I'm sorry it was so hard to hook up with you today, but you always pay off, so I'm glad you were here. Thanks so much for your time.
No problem.
Alexander Zelbin, managing editor over at Decider.com. It's a great website. Check it out, Decider.com. It's right there on your internet. We'll take a quick break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN.